Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
cosmic microwave background, CMB. It's sort of like the glow that envelops all of us. And I'm going to give a little podcast while driving. I'm going to have to stop a few times, in fact, multiple times in this drive. I'll just say what prompted me. So the cosmic microwave background is described as the face of God. It's the baby snap of the first day of the universe, and it's all the first, when the universe is about 40,000 years old, just a mere blip, like the age of human civilizations that old. And at that point, we could see the universe. We look out into space and we can see the universe, and we've got a picture of the universe that far old, and that's called the cosmic microwave background. Now, the issue for me is that it finally gets taught to my daughter in year nine. That's 9 years of schooling. They get to teach it in there, and a bit curious to know, because a lot of the teachers I speak with cannot comprehend anything outside Euclidean geometry, and they can't comprehend time, whole series of things. How are they going to teach my child the cosmic microwave background? This is a big bit of a question, and the way that they decided to do it is that here is a pretty picture in a book. I'm going to reproduce that picture in the book by giving them textures and getting to colour in a picture of the microwave background. And this is something that the kids really, really enjoyed. And that's something, they threw themselves with it. They had, finally, a colouring in task. And one of the things is that there is a sincere and what I called a catastrophic lack of imagination, CLI, happening here. And it's something very difficult to overcome. I'm just looking at this. No, you just can't come up here, you bastard. Sorry, I'm in the car park at the moment. Someone is threatening to drive up the wrong bloody way. And I've just had enough of that type of stuff. Okay, I'm going to stop. And here you have the daughter of a physicist is being taught the cosmic microwave background on the level of a piece of paper and colouring in with red and blue colours. And I'll stop and give a bit more of a talk about that. Something which she's passionate about. You might find it interesting to see and feel the agony of understanding. So it's a cataclysmic lack of understanding and the agony of understanding. AU and CLI. Okay, back again after that brief visit to the library to discuss the cosmic microwave background. Now, that's where the place I went to. Now, we're up to the point of saying that the span of my teachers, of the teacher's imagination, is cosmic microwave background represent the picture I can see. The best processing I can do, the best thing I can do, is get people to colour it in. And there's so much more to it. So let's talk about what the cosmic microwave background is. It's a picture in space of the Big Bang. The Big Bang, I think 40,000 or 400,000 years after, in that zone. And the universe has gone through a period of faster than light expansion, but this is only from a subatomic atom to the size of a pea. Okay, so this is, inflation is not a huge bizzo, and then after that it's continued to expand out at pretty much the speed of light. And so at 100,000 years, the size of the universe is 100,000 light years across. And so the universe is expanding all the time, and it's expanding at its rate. So it's expanding from time to time. So the time, the photograph of our universe at 40,000 or 400,000, that period of time, the universe is 13.8 billion years. So that's 13,800 million years, million years old. So it's a fairly young, well, in my estimation, a fairly young universe. In that very first 400 million years, I can't remember the difference between, I know it's a 4 there, but I can't remember if it's a 40 or 400. It's expanded, and that means that at that initial rate of expansion, the universe is that big, or the actual navigable universe is that big. And it's a pretty, I suppose, interesting thing. So we have a mass of the universe, or the mass within that visibility bubble. So the mass of the known universe is a certain amount. Now, it's actually not that much. I think it's equivalent to a star of liquid water 26 light years across. It's not as huge. It would engulf Alpha Centauri and that type of stuff, but it's not huge. And the actual size of the universe at the start, it's only about the width of our galaxy. Now, ever since then, it's been expanding. Now, essentially, using that, well, it's 13.8 billion years old, so it must be double that side to side. So, just to give an idea. Now, of course, there's an extra factor in that the actual meter stick. That we've been using has been lengthening out, and the meter stick has been lengthening. It's another way to actually say that the actual nature of space has been changing. The actual metric of space have been changing, and so the universe is now 96 billion light years side to side. And light year is the same as year. You can throw the light out and say years across. So time and that is all mixed up. And so you can, in fact, this is one of the things, is that the oldest part of the universe, as far as you are always concerned, is the little piece of matter where your consciousness begins, where the eyesight begins, and it sort of decays from there, is probably just above the surface of your retina, because the light that goes there, that's the now, and before, after that, it's so many nanoseconds after it hits. So I really think that's the start, and it just gets older and older and further away. And so you can go old to the very first baby shop of the universe. Now, the thing is, although we see it, it's out there, it's actually, we're inside the universe, so we can't get a photograph of it. Now, this is one of the things that I suppose distresses me, is that Celestia has an add-on where you can see the cosmic microwave background, and you can be outside the cosmic microwave background, which is just impossible. And it shows that the person hasn't actually really understood space-time. And I contacted the person, and he listened to me, and it's so easy if you've got a concept that you have built and worked on, and someone says, oh look, it's wrong, it's far easier to dismiss that person, to say, look, it's no good. So I can't remember this poor American who is not a qualified astrophysicist, but a groupie, I think with Denver, wrote the Celestia add-on. So Celestia is a program that you can type in. You can Google Celestia download it, and you've got the entire universe, basically, if you want it, on your computer. You can just navigate to any any amount. But the important thing, navigation, there is that there are several tricks in it. All the observable universe has been advanced to current time. So it doesn't get absolutely everything right. So our universe, if I look out at something, if I look out at Alpha Centauri, that's 2015 in Alpha Centauri. If I look sort of closer into the center of the galaxy, we've got, you know, mankind's entering, or humankind's entering Europe, that type of stuff. So there's this thing that if I was to scan through the celestial, that you scan through, time is kept the same. So you get this idea that time is kept the same, whereas if I actually look into space, the images I get are very old and ancient. So what it's done is it's created an artificial space which I can see and travel faster than the speed of light, which is, you know, it's okay, educationally right, but it also means that you, I wonder what happened there. So there was a car, so we were merging in a car, rather than pull out, actually pulled into the emergency lane and stopped. So I don't know what was going on there. Okay, so we've got this cosmic background, and what is it? The piece of paper is our representation of it, but what is it? And it is really like an overcast day. So overcast at the moment, you'd be lucky that if the clouds are a kilometre, 2 kilometres above you. But if there was another cloud layer, not 1,000 kilometres above you, not a light year about above you, but 47,000 million light years above you, it would be another second cloud layer, and it would be a white cloud layer. Now, we as humans cannot see it, and there are several steps to the machine image of this image, and we humans are sensitive to what is it, 700 nanometers? Yeah, 700 nanometers to 300 nanometers. We're just short of a micron that we can see, wavelength micron. Now, so that's our range, and we've got a definition of white, which is the central wavelength out of our star. We have evolved to see that as white. So if we were around a red dwarf, our white would be much redder, if that makes sense. So we've evolved for the colour white for us to be the central aspect of our star. Now I'll just go through here. So it is white, but it's white. Now the thing is that it's our star. Stars are things called black body radiators. That means it's sort of like an artificial, archaic term, like to be calling an incandescent light bulb. A bulb. A tube. It's sort of an ancient term. So black body refers to the struggle to produce a particular type of spectrum. But the spectrum is basically, if I put a poker in a fire and pull it out and look at it and it's hot, glowing red hot, that's black body radiation. The sun's black body. Any sort of, basically any pile of disordered atoms over 100 atoms big clumped together, and they must interact. The entire thing is that if I've got so many interactions before the light gets out, I get a measure of the statistical interaction, and I get basically statistical light. And so that light is black body radiation, and black body radiation has temperature, And so we've got a temperature of our star of 5,000 degrees. Red dwarfs have a temperature of 3,000 degrees. It just goes. That's the way it goes. And this is two degrees, so it's cooled down. Well, has it cooled down? Yes, it's cooled down, but it's expanded. So basically, you've got the fundamental. So I'm going to have to stop now while I find a park. Okay, continuing on black body radiation, the cosmic microwave background, as I have just been unsuccessful in my quest to getting a replacement pool flange and not paying, well, unfortunately you can pay a huge amount of money, but someone's given me a bit of intel there. But getting back to the cosmic microwave background, happened, what you see is a long time ago, but as you see, long, long ago, is further and further away from you. So your past expands in a sphere from you. And your cosmic microwave background is actually your own personal cosmic microwave background. Everyone gets their own special cosmic microwave background. They're all slightly different because you're all at slightly different observation points. In fact, you've got the most recent cosmic microwave background. Someone else standing a few meters away has got a cosmic microwave background which is not as old, because they're further into the past. That's one of those things to get used to. Now the thing is that it's let's work out whether I can actually, this actually works out here. Oh my god, I'm not quite used to this this thing here. Okay, so it's a ball, what, 400,000 light years, 40,000 light years, sort of, in terms of the overall scale, relative scale. There's someone coming out here. What the fuck is he doing? He's having a grand old time. So he's... So I'm just looking at the park. So there's this thing called, it's, if you can imagine, a desk lamp the size of a galaxy. That's what we can see. But the thing is that we're stuck inside and we can't escape the universe, because outside the universe is before time, if you want to go like that. But really, it's people are stuck in Euclidean geometry. And the universe isn't, well, it is Euclidean, but it's something else. My godfather, what the fuck is this? I've never seen this before. So this is an unknown part of Penrith. I just hope that I can escape to my pool shop. Okay, so what is black body radiation? Black body radiation is statistical radiation, and statistics, oh my god, I hope I can get out of this godforsaken place. My god, this is like the end of the earth. Hopefully it'll come along. I can see there's a corner coming up here. Essentially statistics says it's a cup game with heaps of people, heaps of magicians moving cups, and there's only so much table space. And eventually you get a map of table space, the amount of space on the table, and the length of the magician's arms. And therefore you get a distribution of light coming out, which is not is not of anything in particular. So if I can have ruby, I can have emerald, I can have all these different things coming out, and I can have all these different materials, and they will all look the same, because the thing is that the actual nature of what it is doesn't matter anymore. It's the fact that nature it will absorb and emit light. That's all you have to do. And then the process you get, so black body radiation is process radiation. It's the black body process, and it produces this characteristic. Here's a pool shop, matey. So can I actually stop here? Are you going to let me do it? What are you doing, bastard? Oh, look, I'm just going to go across here and get a park. This is a chicken bath, a synthetic grass sail. Why do anyone? Who does it? And who just go in here? No, it's absolutely stupid. Why not here? Why not here? This is a car park to nowhere. This is brilliant, the most brilliant car park yet. Okay, I'll be back with you on black body radiation after I've tried to find this pool bar. Hello again. After going to a shop and spending 70 Australian dollars on a flat disc of plastic. Now, to go in a pool, and good God, it's something that you can't easily replace. Can I say that? You can spend a bit of time engineering. I've done a podcast on how great that is, and just gone into a pool shop and just been amazed by the just sheer technology out there. They have robots to pull up the leaves and crap. These pretty amazing inventions and stuff, costing an eye-watering amount of money. In fact, pretty well much you can buy a clapped-out car, or you can buy one of these pool cleaning stuff. I don't know what's going through people's bloody brains, and then people looking at their pool chemical data on computer printouts, trying to work out what the heck to do, getting the acidity absolutely, absolutely right. And it's sort of a rather strange thing in terms that they've got no basic chemistry to know near enough is good enough. They're not manufacturing a drug or anything. They're just trying to get their pool within a particular swimmable range. And we as organisms can live so far. You've got to make it, your basic range is that you've got to make it unlivable for algae and bacteria, but livable for you. And that's a fair range of things that you can go to get through to that. Okay, we've got a green light to go around. And I have to think about how I'm going to get here. Oh, yeah, I've got my master plan. Oh, come off it, you bastard. Okay, now we're talking about black body radiation. Well, black body radiation is that of the sun and of the universe and basically of your bar radiator or anything which is hot and glows. Essentially, black body radiation is statistical colour, and the colour has a temperature, and the temperature of our sun we define as white. Anything less than our temperature gets a reddy hue to it, and anything above our temperature gets a bluey hue to it. In fact, in your colour triangle of colours, so you can actually map your retinal response, you get your three types of cells in your eye, back of your eye, the cone cells are wavelength sensitive, and that gives you basically three signals, three levels of signal down. And so what you can do is that you can get a sorry, I'm just risking life and limb here, trying to work out the best way to get through this godforsaken city we call Penrith. I'll be back in just in time just to take my kids out to the city. Okay, so basically, I'll try to describe the colour of white. So different organisms around different stars will have different definitions of white, but essentially they're all tracked into this eyelash of light combination in this two-dimensional splay of all possible colours. In fact, because we've got three cone cells, we can actually project all possible colours that we can perceive onto a flat sheet of paper. How we do it is that we say all points there is the light, so it's a flat cut through light plane or cone, I suppose, where the total signal to my eye, I'll get three signals to my eye from three, this light goes onto my eye and I have three cone cells, and I get signal 1, 2, and 3. I get signal 1 and 2 at certain levels, and then I say, well, if I define the overall intensity, such as the fixed level, I can work out what level 3 is. So I can actually in a surface define 1 and 2 as a ratio, therefore that gets a line, and along that line will be the amount of 3 involved in it. So if there's a lot of 3 involved in it, the third one, 1 and 2 are the same ratio but a very small one, so that's close in. But if there's little of that, if there's little 3, it's a long distance out. Come on, okay. I've got to pay attention here because it's like a dodgem car around here in Penrith, and I've got to get up to another sad, sad thing. Now, in Australia, we have bastards. You wouldn't know, but we have criminals. And a criminal stole my son's beloved bike, which we paid much more than we would normally pay for a bike, having been sucked into this world of advanced bikes. Now, just to give you an idea, I've got to move around here. Come on, okay. Away you go. Whoosh. That's a bit of precision driving here. Now, in Penrith, all of Sydney is covered with smoke. So I'd say your visibility to 50% visibility, that is probably 800 metres. So your total visibility might be 1 or 2 kilometres. So you can barely see the Blue Mountains. It's covered in smog and stuff like that. So, getting back to it, I can map my all colours that I can see onto a piece of paper, and it produces this sort of bulby, like a set of sail triangle, and in that are all colours, and in that big surface is a line. It's called the black body curve. So all clumps of shit, basically, more than 100 atoms, so the light has to actually bounce around a couple of times. The energy has to be held within it. It's going to take a while to get out. Now, of course, stars qualify for this very, very well, because to get to the surface of a star, it takes a million years for the light energy to actually work its way through. Now, in fact, opaque objects transmit black body light. Now, and you say, well, a stone can't transmit light. Yes, it does. So if you have a red hot rock and it's glowing red hot, where does the light coming from? Well, you break the stone open and you see the shards and sun, it's red hot. The entire body fills with radiation. In fact, your body is so much water, so much stuff, and so much radiation pouring all right throughout the body. So this is the statistical radiation of a soot radiating into its own self, if that makes sense. It's black body radiation. It's a statistical process, and it's sort of like trying to keep track of something where people keep on passing food around, passing it around. I wish I could do it. It's almost so someone takes a bite of some food, goes to a smorgasbord, chews it all up in the mouth, and then regurgitates it into another bowl, and people eat from that. It sort of just goes along. So that's black body radiation. And so this white, we've got the white temperature is, I can convert any temperature back just by multiplying that spectrum by moving along the curve. I can make red light appear white. So I can't make any shade off this appear white. Any shade off this is permanently. So this is just, for instance, there are no green, right? And there are no purple stars. These are colours which are organic in nature. They're off the black body spectrum. Now, what the fuck am I doing here? Okay, I think I'm going up here. Sorry, I shouldn't be swearing on a global podcast, but I have to do here. And have I done it? Oh, crap. Okay, I'm just looking along here. And I just have to... work out what I'm doing here. Okay, I think I understand it. Sorry for being so vague. I have to drive and think at the same time. It's absolutely hard. So, we've got this ability that all black body things are white, but with a temperature of white. And it's saying, look, you buy light bulbs. They're white light bulbs, but they've got a temperature associated with it. They're black, they're, well, it's hard to say. That they are saying, oh, we can actually use advanced mathematics because they've got things. Your LEDs are not black body radiators. This is one of the things to get to. So I'm going to have to stop now and do some parking. So I'll switch off now because I don't want you to listen in while I bingle a car. Rather sad story. I'll tell you about it when I get out of this godforsaken place. Okay, starting up again after a little break. I've actually went from the bike shop, I think, to Officeworks without talking to you. And of course I was at the bike shop getting the serial number of the bike, of my son's bike that was recently stolen. And I had an interesting conversation with the bike person there, and you get your head onto the mind. Is that where I'm giving a talk now about cosmic microwave background and the fact that if you give an idea to someone who hasn't got the intellectual bandwidth, I think the word, that sounds a bit snobby. It's not intellectual bandwidth, but the actual cognitive stamina in terms of that when given a problem, it's sort of life's a test, and they sort of fold up, give it up, start to blame other things, stop actually thinking about things which are not directed to actually, not directed to solving the problem. I think that's the idea. So this is almost the definition of anxiety. Anxiety is thoughts which are not constructive to solving a problem. So, you know, I worry about my breathing, worry about everything else. And so anxiety reduces your performance. There's sort of anxiety about not understanding something, and this anxiety comes across. Now, that's from the actual person outwards. But if you're on the outside with a idea and you're dealing with all these anxious people, you have to A, be aware of that anxiety, not threaten it, and also work in a way, an understanding that there is this anxious anxiety. So people say no, 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 and they want to get there when they're not necessarily saying no to your point of view, but they're saying no, I have additional information to offer. So there's two different types of no. There is no, I'm not listening to you, I don't like you, and go away. And no, what you're saying is incomplete, there's more to say. So you have to pick that up. So there's almost two coefficients that you've got to look at. One is the it's all like the light curve, but for actual people to actually work out where they're at. So there are people who are basically defensive, and you won't be able to get anywhere with them anyway, so you just give up. And so that's on their side. On the idea side, there's activity that you can involve to keep it percolating, to keep it alive, sustained in a hibernated state or embryonic state, pre-germination, that is, in order to get the system up to monitor the soil and moisture. So there is this idea of this pre-germination of ideas. So the important thing is that I was managed to speak with her, and she said, look, the big new things with bikes is the e-bike, which is allowing a lot more people to cycle around for pleasure, just that will go out and their fitness is no longer something which really kills them. And I can't tell you, it is a killer going up the hills in Glenbrook. There's sort of a series of hills, so you can really bust yourself going a certain distance, and it's just too much. So these e-bikes are the way to go forward. So it allows a whole new class of people who are not necessarily fit to take on the bike and get going. And so I was looking at the extension of interbike communication for tours and stuff like that as an extension of the electric scooter tour that I'm trying to plan up and trying to move from that pre-germination stage. I think if I could only get a word for that pre-germination stage. And so this is a stage where there must be a organic level of, come on, what the heck are you doing? My godfather, these cars are coming around with vengeance. Look at this. Come on. Yep. Whoops. I'm not going. Okay. Whoosh. Sorry, that was a roundabout, and there was people who had a far greater competence in the acceleration of the car, a whole series of life parameters different, which meant they made a decision different from me. They had obviously something far more important to do and far able to take a risk, obviously far more confident and all that type of stuff. And that's really interesting in terms of looking at a person and looking at the nature of no. That might be actually a paper. So you tend to be really focused on, this person's getting my kid to colour in cosmic microwave background and hasn't got the actual basic idea that that colour is the colour of white, but it's white for an organism orbiting a star near absolute zero. That's white, and that colour is different, and there's a whole series of steps. But at the end of the day, you are teaching is contempt for science. At the end of the day, the net result of all this to-ing and fro-ing that we can measure is a growing contempt for science. That is a real thing that happens. We measure by questionnaire week in, week out. We do all these sorts of things, but we also ask this question, what do you respect science? And the end of the day is no, because the fundamental execution of science is prejudicial to science. So although colouring in is something which you is sort of a broadcasting that, hang on, oh come on, I don't know what this car's... this is a 60 zone here. Oh, 60? Yeah. This car behind me is doing easily a 70. Not anymore. Mato. Bucko. And so we're just cruising forward through this apocalypse. Australia is apocalypse now. In terms of smell that smell. Smell that napalm smell. I love the smell of napalm. I love the smell of burning Australia in the morning. It's just, you know, just pretty amazing, amazing stuff. Okay, getting back to it, black body is sort of a sacred colour. It's the like life and chemicals that they all drift away from that thing. That is, individual atoms and individual life forms can get away from this line, but this line is the line of the universe. Black body radiation is really useful, and it's something that we as organisms have programmed deeply into us. So if I look at something, I can say that's just something which is hot or cold or white hot. You can have white hot, blue hot, red hot. Your red, yeah, the word hot is there, and this is the cosmic microwave radiation is black hot. However, there is a little bit more news to it. It's hotter in one direction and less hot in the next. I don't know why I'm doing this. So I'm just sneaking forward to the next thing. So cosmic microwave radiation is black hot. Black hot at 2.5 degrees C. Go down to it and we can see that it is hot, moving hotter and moving in one direction, colder in the other. That is because it's the property if you Doppler shift a black body curve, you can change its temperature. This is one of the beautiful things of the mathematics of it. You don't get you see a star, it is either hotter or it's actually traveling towards you. And it's a really interesting I find this absolutely fascinating to a certain extent, that you I don't know whether it's true, but and one can't really understand it completely, but it's just that it's either hot and staying still or cooler, and that additional energy is the fact that it's coming towards you. Yeah, that you're going to deal with the energy in a different way. So when it actually arrives to you, it smashes you apart, but it's not as hot at the end of the day. Really, really interesting stuff. Now, the thing is that the fact that something's traveling this away from you looks colder is really what it is. And the universe is expanding and cooling. That's almost a tautology in terms of statistical mechanics. If you have less particles per the temperature of something, is the energy above absolute zero per unit volume. If you have equally energetic particles and you increase the unit volume or expand it, its energy per unit volume drops down, and so that's cooled. So something, an expanding gas is cooled. It's sort of almost a tautology. So the universe is cooled, and as it travels faster away from you, it cools down. So so the aspect is that I see it, but if I move the start of time faster away from my time. So if the start of time was going to remain the same distance from me, it would increase the only reason that the light is redshifting so far away, because it's actually accelerating more and more away the actual space. So what happens is that the space expands, so you get more tiles between you and them, and then those tiles themselves expand, so I get sort of a doubling of the expansion. It's not just the expansion, but expansion on top of expansion. And this means that an object, so at the start of the Big Bang, the temperature of galaxy of the universe. So, galaxy size universe. Come on. Oh, come on. Whoa. Yeah, sorry, that's just me merging, mate. So the temperature was so hot as basically ionized hot. So, it just before. Before that, the temperature dropped down, and so the actual black body radiation was insufficient radiation to ionize hydrogen. So if hydrogen formed, that's an electron and a proton came together, there was sufficient radiation to ionize that. So the density and the temperature of radiation was there. But the moment that this temperature dropped beneath this particular wave, so this has got a heatness or hotness of the globe, I don't know what a Lyman alpha one would be, but probably 40,000 degrees around that temperature. That's just off the top of my head. Once it dropped beneath that, things began to settle down. The combination of two things, they thinned out, and the radiation wasn't sufficient to ionize it anymore. So when it couldn't be absorbed by atoms, it went through. Now what actually happened is that then when the atoms themselves began to come together, then they got gravitationally hot. Fusion went along, they began to get a new source of stars, which then began to pump out radiation again. So the universe went black. So after the cosmic microwave radiation cooled down, once it cooled down to a certain amount, it suddenly went transparent. So this, you're looking at the point in the universe's history when the universe suddenly went opaque. So if you can imagine sort of an example of an opaque star is our star. Our star is not opaque, transparent from Pluto down to the surface of the Sun. There is insufficient matter interacting with a way to actually stop a light particle. So at this epoch, we have the great darkness. So this is a really important thing to say. Then stars formed, and when they formed, they began pumping out light again, but light from a much higher temperature, not a temperature from the cooling lump of matter. You had actually, it reconnected, and you had a second ignition point, and this is the unfinished business of the Big Bang. So the Big Bang didn't finish properly. It consumed 50% of its fuel in the Big Bang, consumed 50% of it, producing 25% of... So this is more than 50%. So I think 75% of its fuel it was consumed. What consuming 75... Say if I have five protons and four of them together, I make a neutron. So that's 80% of the fuel was used up. Now, there's more steps in that 80%. You can reburn it. But the 80% is moved up. And so I have used that, and that has created... Oh, no. No, it would be more 75%. So I've got 50% of fuel. Oh, let's get it right. No, probably, oh, I don't know. Say I've got... let's do it. Say I've got seven protons. Three of them I save as protons, and four of them I make a helium. And that means that I've got one helium and three protons. So that gives me 25% of the universe is made of helium. 25%. Let's do it, is 1 to 3. So 1 times 4 and 3, so more than half the mass of the universe got converted to helium. So, but there's a lot of hydrogen about, and that's enough for that reburning. So it is the Big Bang, if you come to think of it, but is a failed process. What the fuck are you doing? Sorry, mate. Just getting here. I'm nearly home. 11:52. Jesus. I'll be getting along. Come along. Christmas unwrapped. Nearly home. So you can see the cosmic microwave background. Now the actual story of measuring the cosmic microwave background is the story of humanity walking backwards into the lab, backwards into a world in which the scientist is absolutely out of it. It is go, get to the extremity, go away, and they discover it by mistake. It's when it's like push everyone away from the campfire of humanity. And you look out at the stars, and you look out at the stars in such a way, increasingly questioning it, and you create an eye which can see cold, black, white, black hot temperature. It can see it, and start to measure it. And basically, they basically pointed a thermometer and expected to see real cold, but actually saw that the actual universe is just glowing ember. And it is, you can say, a glowing ember of it. So you can see all this science, and I haven't actually really got into the cosmic microwave background and the variation in it and the Doppler shift in it and all the ins and outs of it. I haven't got to that point. But you can see even at this point, there is so much, and that so much is actually a liability. That is the assets. Assets get converted to liabilities. Thanks a lot. I'm going to have to get going on it. Thanks for listening. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.